Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I made it to 2019. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I sound very sick. Jesus.
We both
like, I just started talking, and I was like, oh. But
there's
I did
so
make
much
it to
congestion
2019.
In this episode already. Oh, man. Yeah, I got sick while traveling in New York, I think, and then was just, on New Year's Day, a mess in Newark Airport, sneezing and coughing all over everything, and I was like, normally I would say, you know, the first day of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year, but I really hope the rest of my year isn't like this.
Yeah.
So last week we were doing our 2018 wrap-up. We're continuing that a little bit this week, and we're also going to get into our 2019 goals, which we always set because we're very organized, ambitious little things. The first question I want to ask you, let's talk about our best and worst sex of the year. Okay, what was your best sex of the year, Bex?
Honestly, it was probably some of the sex I had most recently, actually, with a partner. She's from Baltimore, but we met in Philly recently and spent the weekend there. And it was just a lot of, like, it was some of the most, I was in a weird place for my gender, and it was some of the most, like, affirming sex I've had, possibly ever, but at least in a really long time. And it's, sex has been something that's been getting harder as I go more, as I move more into my transition and get, like, a clearer idea of how I would really love my body and my gender to present, and that I'm not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in that interim, as I, like, gain clarity and realize how much farther I kind of want to go, sex has gotten kind of complicated. And it was, like, recently it was one of the first times that I, like, either wasn't thinking about my gender at all or was, like, really actively thinking positively about my gender. So there's a lot of talk about gender dysphoria, not so much talk about gender euphoria, which is kind of the other side of that. And I don't get that often, but when I do, it's really cool, especially when it involves really hot naked people.
Aw, babe, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Also, like, on the less deep level, it was, like, it was the kind of sex that afterwards we just kept looking at each other and being like, we're really good at this. Like, we're good at, and, like, all weekend just being like, you're really good at that. We're good at this.
That's
and that's
awesome.
Just, that's such a good feeling. Because it's just, when you just find the people that you're like, wow, our skill sets mesh really well.
Yeah, I actually feel like my best sex of the year answers would all be kind of like that, too, in terms of, like, finding someone who you're just a good fit with. Because, like, I'm very submissive. When I get subspacey, I get nonverbal and giggly and silly and kind of float away into my own head, and I've had problems before with partners who, like, either didn't like that or just, like, didn't really understand it. And my partner currently is, like, really, really into all of those things. He has a sleepy sex kink and an intoxicated sex kink, and is into me when I'm giggly. So basically, like, whatever weird state I get into from being in subspace, he's really into it. So I've been able to explore so many fun things this year without, like, needing to feel guilty or bad about any of it, which is really rare for me. I think, like, some standout experiences to me are my first time peeing on his face. I just, like, really, really vividly remember what his face looked like and that vulnerability and intimacy, and also wax play and, like, really long spanking sessions that sort of, like, built up slowly and were meditative. Just, like, any time that my partner really, like, displayed that he understands me and what I want, which is just, like, the hottest thing to me.
No, I totally get what you're saying there, and one thing I found really valuable, or like, surprisingly valuable, is realizing, kind of the difference between someone who's like, yeah, you do that, that's okay, like, that's fine, you experience life like that and totally accepting of it, versus a partner who's actually turned on by that.
Yeah, and how much more.
Yeah, and, like, how there's nothing wrong with, like, great, I accept you at where you're at or whatever, but, like, when you meet someone who's actively turned on by these things, it can, it just makes it so much easier to get into that place,
I think. Yeah, I've had partners who were willing to hit me, for example, and sort of, like, enjoyed my reactions to it, but that was about as far as they took it. And I've also had partners, like my current partner, who identify as sadists and, like, get very turned on from hitting me, and it is quite a different experience. And, like, the first one is kind of, like, my bare minimum, I think, at this point, but the second one is really more where I'm aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of touched on this, but one of the things I wanted to ask you is, like, what was kind of your standout kink experience of the year? Because I've kind of been exploring where those kind of separate and overlap and everything. And for me, like, my best sex experience and my best kink experience are, like, kind of two separate things right now. And I'm curious if you had any, like, really standout cool kink stuff.
Yeah, so a thing happened recently, and maybe it's just the recency effect where this seems extra amazing to me because it happened so recently, but I've been getting into hypnotizing my partner, which I'm going to talk about a bit more in a little while. And I was with him in a hotel last weekend, and we were making out and, like, getting into sex things, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a fun trance thing. And normally I would, like, tell him what I was going to do, but he was just like, okay, I trust you. So I put him into trance, and I introduced the suggestion that the fronts of his thighs would feel like his cock. So, like, if he was, like, grinding his thigh against my cunt, then it would feel like he was fucking me, which, is a thing I really enjoy. And I really wasn't expecting this to, like, be a whole scene, I guess. Like, I figured, like, we would do a little bit of grinding like we often do and then, like, get into sex stuff. But the suggestion, like, really took hold. But you moved
where his cock was, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think it was gonna, like, endure. But then when I woke him up, he was, like, immediately on top of me, grinding his thigh into me, like, very hard, very intensely for, like, 5 or 10 minutes, and then he came. Like, his cock was
awesome.
His cock was not being touched, and he came, and I felt, like, liquid, like, for sure, a real orgasm, and I was, like, really, really surprised, and it was, like, one of the coolest things I've ever done with kink in any context, and
that's really cool.
Yeah, and he was like, wow, you did that really well. And I was like, So I want to play with that more. We were talking about maybe wanting to put a dildo into my thigh harness and have him wear that and, like, feel like it's his cock and fuck me that way and stuff. So
that's super cool. That reminds me of this thing. So I work at Make Love Not Porn now. And one of the videos we have there is of a cis dude who makes himself come just by touching his nipples. And it's like a 5-minute video or whatever, but what's so cool about it is you can watch his cock go from every stage of, like, just, you know, soft and completely unaroused all the way up to orgasm without, like, there are no hands on it or anything, so you can just see how his cock responds.
That's so cool.
And all of the different levels of arousal. It's really, really cool.
This is actually exactly why I love watching videos of people using those, like, see-through fleshlights, because I really enjoy just, like, seeing cocks do what cocks do, just, like, unobstructed.
Yeah, they're,
so, yeah,
like,
pretty neat.
Cocks, just cocks themselves are super fascinating to me. Like, I just think they're really cool.
Yeah.
I guess trans guy problems, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What was your best kink experience of the year?
It was an impact play scene I did, it was a really, like, intense endurance-based scene where, we had set a goal and, like, kind of talked about, just doing a regular spanking scene, and I was like, you know, hit me, I can go, like, you know, 8, 9 out of 10, whatever, and we were going like that for a while, and then he was like, you know, you want to push it a little farther? And I was like, yeah, we can go to 10. And then, and I was doing, like, really good. And he was like, okay, what about 11? And I was like, hang on. And we, like, kind of took a moment, and I was in a good place, and I, like, super trust this person or whatever. I normally wouldn't, like, mid-negotiate in the middle of a thing like this, mm-hmm. but I was in a room full of friends with someone I knew, mm-hmm. So I was comfortable kind of renegotiating in the moment, and we set a much higher goal. We were gonna go up to 20, mm-hmm. Which would have been the hardest he's hit someone, and we just did, two hits each, because the paddle we were using had a texture on either side. Mm-hmm. So one hit from each side of the paddle. One was stingy, one was more thuddy. Mm-hmm. At each level, all the way up to what was gonna be 20. And what I loved was that it had these really clear goals, I knew exactly what to expect, and each hit, like, knocked me on my ass, and then I kind of got to get up and reset and get hit again. And for me, what I love about impact is that kind of endurance. Mm-hmm. And it was this really, really measurable scaling, right, of mm-hmm. Intensity, and each hit was another achievement. And I got that rush of, like, you did this one, now you can just do one more. Let's see if you can get to the next number. Mm-hmm. And it really played into that, like, just one more thing that is really good for me and helping me get subspacey. Mm-hmm. And it was this gorgeous new paddle that I had gotten. And it was just, and I was in a room full of friends and whatever. So all of my exhibitionist feelings. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, it was a really good scene. And I really need to get hit more again sometime soon.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Do you have a worst sex memory of the year?
Nothing story worthy, really.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, first world problems over here, but, like, I didn't really have any bad sex this year. And, like, part of it was because I was pretty intentionally not seeking dates with new people or one-night stands or hookups. Like, I was fucking people who I've fucked before and who I know me, because that was just the kind of mood I was in. But I did on one occasion take my partner to a sex club here, because, like, I'd been a bunch of times and he had never been, and we, like, made out in the pool and, like, tried to fuck, but we both were kind of like, I don't think we're exhibitionists, because we were just, like, not really feeling all these people being around and looking at us and stuff. And then we went and got a steak dinner and then went back to our hotel and had much better sex. So pretty good.
That is, I think that is the most you story. It was like, no.
Especially the decadent steak dinner, just like mid fuck. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. One more question before we get into our goals and stuff. I'm wondering if there's any big lesson you learned or a big thing you took away about sex or kink in 2018.
I think kind of the biggest thing that I learned is that, like, I don't know as much about my sex and kink stuff as I think I do. Or that, like, I live with a lot of assumptions about my own sex life and kink and what all of that means around my identity. And the cool thing about transness is once your gender changes, shit, anything can change. what is even real? So I'm actually, like, kind of, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but one of my big goals of going into 2019 is to kind of explore everything from more of a beginner's mindset again. Mm-hmm. And stop kind of working on the assumption of that, like, yes, I spend years thinking about this shit, and probably more time thinking about my own sex and kink life and experiences than the average person, I'll go out on a limb. But, like, there are a lot of things that I just accept as true, and I don't know how many of them are. So 2019 is the year of figuring shit out.
That's so interesting, yeah, because I feel like, especially as kinksters, like, our inclination is often to take the things that we're into and make them an identity, and they're somewhat fixed in that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, when I encounter a new kink, like, am I like, do I have a water sports kink? And then I have to, like, reassess my identity, but actually it's like, it doesn't actually matter. Like, it's still a thing I'm doing and a thing I'm enjoying. So, like, I don't know that the question is so important of, like, is this a part of my sexual identity, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there are a lot of other things that, like, so I have these four, you know, four core pieces of my sexual identity or whatever, and then I take all this other stuff and I'm like, oh, it must be a part of that one. And, yeah, like, squeeze it in. And, like, maybe it is, or maybe I'm, like, ignoring this other facet of it that I could be looking more into or whatever.
Yep.
So, this is kind of, the year of why not, but also the year of no, because, like, so many years I've been doing, my resolution has been to do more things and try all of the things. And, like, this year my resolution is to calm the fuck down sometimes. And take a fucking nap or some shit.
Good. Good. You deserve it.
Yeah. So what did you bring out of I got kind of into our resolutions, but whatever, we'll talk more in a little bit. What did you get out of this past year?
So there's the thing we've been talking about a lot on the show lately about kind of the separation between sex and kink and how, like, you can glean a feeling of satisfaction from certain kink acts that aren't necessarily related to arousal, and that that's okay and it's part of the full spectrum of enjoyment that we get from sex and kink. But we've talked about that. So I also want to talk about, like, I feel like this year was the first year I truly understood that my submission and my being a bottom in a kink sense isn't always, like, a burden or, like, something that partners have to, like, do me the favor of indulging. Like, there are genuinely people who are dommy and toppy who, like, need that in the same way that I need submission and who are fulfilled by it, and it fills a space in their life that is empty without it. And, I kind of knew that intellectually before this year, but this year, like, I really, really got it. And yeah. I feel like that is so comforting to me and also really shifts the way that I view just, like, the types of partners that I want. And, yeah, feels good.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love being submissive. Okay, I went back and listened to our episode from last year where we set goals. And I just wanted to briefly go through some of the goals that we set and see how we think we did on them. You said that you wanted to, quote, live in the pursuit of things that feel good. Do you think you did that this year?
Yeah, more or less. Mm-hmm. I at least kept that tenet in mind all year as much as mm-hmm. I could.
Good, good.
Yeah. I actually kind of stick to New Year's resolutions. I realize that. Mm-hmm. I there's always, like, a theme for each year, and I've done mm-hmm. that for, like, a good 4 or 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You mentioned you wanted to try CBT, like, receiving genital yeah. torture and genital pain. Did you do any of that?
Not really. I didn't do a ton of new kink stuff this year, because I didn't have an established partner for most mm-hmm. of this year.
Mm-hmm. You said you wanted to do more porn, more nudes, more getting naked in front of cameras.
Did a bunch of that in the first half of the year. First 2/3 of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much now, but I'm okay with that. I'll get back mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're working in the field of people having sex in front of cameras, so maybe you're less inclined to do it, or maybe you're more inclined to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't actually know how much that alters that. Mm-hmm. Mostly right now it's just I'm so close to top surgery and don't have it yet, and yeah. like gender stuff mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know what it will be like getting naked in front of cameras more again. Mm-hmm. I don't honestly, I think it'll feel pretty separate
from your work, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I, like, most of my getting naked in front of cameras has been in porn industry and stuff, and Make Love Not Porn is not porn, hence the name.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I wanted to try hypno boot blocking and more forced orgasm play. I did every single one of those things. They were all great. I'm proud of myself. And the last goal I had set myself was I wanted to have more sex that was relaxing and comforting for me, which, like, often has not been super accessible to me because I get super anxious with partners I don't know very well. So I did achieve that this year because I had a partner the entire year. So I did, you know, achieve a measure of comfort and relaxation with him, and that is nice.
That's really good. I want more of that next year. I want more of that always, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like... And I love that, like, we say relaxing, comfortable sex.
And, like, and we mean sex that could look very violent from the outside.
Yes, exactly.
And we need partners who understand that. And then finally, we both had set the goal that we wanted to explore our toppy or dommy side more.
Yeah, we talked a little bit more about, like, platonic DS mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah. And how that was, like... happening in a way that we, like, hadn't recognized as much. So that kind of was a thing. But, like, beyond that, I feel like I've definitely, like, felt more switchy lately than usual. But I haven't done anything, like, especially toppy this year, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I did okay on this. I was very submissive for the majority of the year because that's my dynamic with my partner, but also he's switchy and occasionally I top or dom him, and I also, like, hit a bunch of people this year. And I think with my partner, I'm, like, finding ways to dom him that feel more natural to me because I'm definitely not sort of like a tough guy femdom. running the show. Like, that's not my style. I think when I dominate, I'm much more sort of subdued and sensual and gentle. And I'm finding, like, hypnosis is, like, a way that I can do that in a way that feels really comfortable for me. And I'm also getting more into impact topping him sometimes. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. I still think I identify as a submissive. I don't really identify as a switch, but it is fun to mix things up sometimes.
Yeah, and I like how, like, you've talked, every time you tell a story about that, you've talked about, like, feeling kind of powerful with it, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. To even get to try on for a little bit, I think can be fun.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's always what I've really enjoyed in, like, toppier feelings, too. I've also service-topped mm-hmm. this year a bit, mm-hmm. where I wasn't being dommy, but I was, like, topping folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found I really enjoy that.
It has been helping with my confidence, I think, because there's a part of me always that is scared that me being submissive is a sign that, like, as a person, I'm sort of submissive. Like, I'm sort of, like, weak and need people to direct me, and that's just, like, who I am. And that's, like, a shitty stigma that I don't think is true for most people. But when I am able to step up and take on a more dominant role, it kind of, like, mollifies that fear for me a little bit. Because, like, mm-hmm. I can also have my shit together in a kink scene as well as in my life in general. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, so our goals for 2019. You mentioned earlier wanting to get into submission as if you were a newbie. Can you tell me more about that?
I mean, really, I just want to kind of explore... So I do want to explore more my submission as a, like, more structured practice. It more, like, leather-type, high-protocol kind of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to that stuff, I am somewhat of a newbie. And also just... kind of trying to step away from a lot of the assumptions I have about what I like and why I like it, and just kind of reinterrogate all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And not go in with expectations and go with more of a natural curiosity. Like, I'm always relatively I'm always a pretty curious person, like, let's be mm-hmm. honest. But I really want to lean into that and foster that more this year and see where it winds up.
Do you have a system in mind for, like, tracking that process? Like, are you planning on journaling about it or anything like that?
I have a journal that I've been, and by that I mean I made a Google Drive folder, but that was kind of organized into different portions so I could, like, track different stuff I tried. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try and probably put some stuff in there, but I don't know how well I'll stick to that. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Cool. Looking forward to hearing more about how that goes.
Yeah. What are you looking to kind of get out of or do more of in 2019?
Okay, so one of my goals, which has just occurred to me the other day, is I want to apologize less during sex. It's like, I thought that this problem would diminish once I had a partner who I trusted and had been with for a while, but it hasn't really. Like, even though I know that he loves going down on me and, like, finger-banging me and all this stuff, like, if I'm taking a while to come or something, I always apologize for it. Or I'll sometimes even apologize that I'm getting really spacey, even though I know that he loves that and stuff like that. And it's just... Yeah, like, I didn't used to be like this, but it started happening when I was having a lot of hookups, because I did feel like I didn't know these people well enough, and I had to sort of excuse myself for the things I was doing. And it's, like, not good. I want to unlearn it. The thing is, though, I need to find something to replace it, though, because there's still going to be that impulse of, like, wanting to apologize, and I need to have something else I can say there, I think. And some common business advice given to women is, like, instead of saying, like, sorry that, you know, this took so long, you could be like, thank you for being patient with me or something.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking about, like, reframes that I could do that would be sex appropriate. I don't really have a good answer for that yet, but I would like to apologize less.
You could just, I don't know, take that moment to appreciate what you're enjoying out of that moment instead of apologizing.
Mm. Yeah. A thing that also has been helpful for me is, like, occasionally I've had partners, like, when I start to get nervous or apologetic, they will be dommy about it and just be like, be good, as in, like, don't do that. Just, like, lie back, relax, and enjoy. And that has actually been really helpful for me. But it's tricky to, like, ask a partner to take on extra responsibility in a scene in order to compensate for, like, my own issues that I should probably just work through. So, I don't know. I'll think more on that.
Yeah.
Do you have more goals for the year?
See, I don't know, because, like, there are some stuff, like, yeah, I want to do more leather stuff. I want to get hit more. I want to explore more of this, like, high protocol kind of submission and 24/7 and that kind of stuff. Like, that's kind of the direction I feel like I want to be moving. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with this goal of not wanting to of wanting to explore like a newbie, part of that mm-hmm. is not going in with a lot of expectations. And so part of that is, like, this is the stuff that seems interesting to me right now, but, like, I'm not going to go in with a goal. I'm going to go in with the intention to explore and see what comes up this year.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I think that's a really good attitude. Very zen.
Yep, trying it. We'll see how it fucking goes. Too much of an earth sign for this shit.
Relatable. I have a couple of kink things I want to do, and they're things that I've already been doing and just want to do more of. One of them is hypno-topping. As I said, I've been really enjoying that. A couple of other scenes that I've enjoyed recently, at one point I set a trigger that, like, every time I said daddy, it would, like, really amp up my partner's feeling of, like, dominance, and it was really fun playing with that because he would get all, like, growly every time I said it. And another time I used hypno-bondage to kind of make his wrists feel like they were stuck to the bed, which was really cool. I could see him, like, struggling against it but being unable to move his arms. And then I blew him, having suggested in trance to him that his cock would be 10 times more sensitive than usual. And it was the hardest I've ever seen him get. It was, like, very, very satisfying to me. So that was fun. I have a lot of ideas for hypnotoppy things I want to do, and I feel like I'm getting more confident with it, so that's nice.
Good.
And the other kind of kink thing I want to do is more in-person role plays. We were just talking last night about how we feel like when we did a role play at a bar where we pretended to be strangers meeting up for an interview, it kind of, like, opened this whole, like, new avenue of different ways we can play together. So one idea that we had that we're both excited about is meeting at a bar and pretending that he's a pickup artist trying to pick me up. Because, like, as much as I hate pickup artists on principle, I also kind of think they're hot. I kind of have, not in real life, but I think, like, the idea of them is hot. Like, I have a thing for, like, con men, and it's kind of along those lines.
Exactly all of that, yes.
Yes, yeah. I don't want to be picked up by a real pickup artist, but in fantasy, if they are sort of, like, hot in my fantasy, then it can be exciting. And so, like, of course, my super hot partner, who I love, pretending to be a pickup artist is going to be fun for me. And he was also, like, pretty nerdy about pickup artistry, just, like, from, almost, like, an academic standpoint when he was younger. So he knows a lot about the culture, so I think that's going to be a really fun roleplay.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, the idea of being manipulated by someone who's entirely controlling a situation, mm-hmm. And trying to get whatever they want out of me, and me being, like, completely oblivious to it, that kind of power dynamic is really hot to me, which is what pickup artistry sells, except that's not real. And pickup artists instead are just annoying and not conning anyone.
Yeah, they're so often not charming either, which to me is always kind of the appeal of that type of person, ideally, is that they would be charming, and I've never met one who I thought was charming or smooth.
Exactly, like, the idea is they make you feel so good that they can make you do whatever they want.
Yes.
And you can get all swept up because they're, you know, so clever or manipulative and have planned all of this out so well. Which is why people give them money, because the fantasy of being that person is also super hot.
Yeah.
But it's not it's like people selling unicorn books. We all want to be them, but we can't.
I started thinking about this fantasy a few months ago. I got really high and I was just, like, messing around on YouTube, and, like, I always find that my video searches or porn searches while high are, like, extremely illuminating and often lead me to new areas of my sexuality, because I'm just, like, uncensored, you know, fantasizing, freewheeling. And I started watching all these pickup artist videos, and there was this one about this move where you, like, strike up a convo with a girl for, like, a minute, and then you say, "Hey, this is really weird, but can I kiss you?" And it's, like, surprisingly genius the more that I think about it, because by saying, "Hey, this is really weird," you are setting this moment up that's like, this doesn't normally happen to me, but I'm feeling, like, really, like, attracted to you in this moment, and you're making this, like, very special moment between the two of you that feels nice, and you can get swept up in that moment. And I was, like, very weirdly into this as a fantasy, even though, like, watching the dudes do it over and over again to different girls in this video was making me feel really grossed out. But I was like, if this happened to me, I feel like this would work on me.
Yeah, and, well, like, that's the other thing, like, this kind of manipulation and outsmarting that we're talking about is also hot because we're consenting to this fantasy of this, like, feeling of helplessness or being outwitted or being so desired that they're going through all these hoops to get you to do this thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're consenting to that, which is why it's hot, which is why it's a great roleplay. But if we're, like, in reality, they're going up to strangers and trying to manipulate them without their knowledge into, like, and that's icky.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's so gross.
I don't know. It feels almost like an extremely mild, like, con-non-con thing.
Oh, totally. Because
you're, like, allowing yourself to be manipulated into this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always enjoy when I'm able in kink to get close to a thing that, if it was happening outside of kink, would feel really gross or violating or upsetting, and kind of, like, find some pleasure in it through kink, because then it's, like, not as scary to me and kind of takes away some of its power and, you know, makes me able to laugh at pickup artists a little bit instead of, like, despairing for humanity every time I encounter them. So that's nice.
Yeah.
In terms of my writing about sex, a thing I've noticed about myself is that I'm pretty hesitant to just write, blog posts that just tell a story of a scene or a kink thing that happened to me. Like, I feel very attached to the idea of needing there to be some kind of lesson or takeaway or educational information in the post, or else it feels self-indulgent or something. And I'm kind of trying to not feel that way. Like, I'm kind of trying to be okay with writing blog posts that are just a story of a kink thing that happened, because, like, my readers like it, and I like writing that type of piece, and it's my fucking blog. I get to decide what goes on it, so...
You do.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I'm gonna write about hypno stuff and water sports stuff and roleplay stuff, and it's gonna be good.
Nice.
Thank you so much for joining us this year. It's been, as always, a pleasure to podcast for such a wonderful, enthusiastic audience. We love hearing from you on Twitter and in our emails. Please, if you have, like, sex and relationship advice questions ever, you can email us at thedildorks@gmail.com. We love doing listener question episodes, and hopefully we'll do one in the next month or two. And Happy New Year, etc. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I just wrote a big post that I do every year now called Sextistics, where I went through my sex spreadsheet from the year and just wrote up a bunch of stats about stuff I learned in my sex life and whatnot, so that's fun, girlyjuice.net, and you can find the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
Hey, I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com and on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. Giving us 5 stars moves us up in the charts and makes us easier for other folks to find.
Thank you to Protodome, who let us use his song, I Want You in My Bedroom, as our theme song all year. Still love that song. And thank you to Amy, who did our logo for us. She's at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. Let's make a cup of tea. I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me. The problem is, I feel like nothing I'm saying is smart right now because I can't think. So we'll see how it goes. I sound like garbage too. I didn't realize how bad I sounded.
This episode's gonna be an editing nightmare. There's gonna be so many coughs and sneezes for me to take out.
This is gonna be such a mess.
Yay, love it.
I think our listeners are just gonna get sick from listening to it. What is happening under my chair here?
I don't know.
Oh my god. Oh, like all of the wires were caught under one of the tires of my chair.
That's
tire?
Not great.
Wheel. How big does it have to be a tire? When does it even change? Is it because tires are on things that are motor? Well, no, they're on bikes.
They're rubber and they have ridgy things on them.
True, true. Is that really the difference, though?
I don't know. No, I've never thought about this.
Because, like, roller skates have wheels, but they're rubber. They don't have treads.
Yeah, that's
what I meant. Is it treads?
Okay, well, let's begin our podcast, I guess.
Welcome to the Dildorks.
Yep.
Where we tackle the important questions. My god. I have officially, I think... Oh, I am sick. This is sick now. Okay. Yeah. I've been feeling like crap for a few days, but no, I am sick now.
Yeah, you are.
Great. Hang on. Like, actively trying to breathe quietly, but there's just mucus in every orifice I have.
Great. We're fucking nailing this.
Great.
Love
it.
Go
team. I really like that the cadence for this episode is like question, cough, cough, answer, sneeze.
Yeah.
question, blow nose answer.
Yeah.